All right, got your Bible and go in the book of Hebrews. I want to look at this verse of Scripture in chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And then we're going back to the book of Genesis, and we're going to we're going to the book of Exodus tonight, please. And we'll see some things and how God has spoken. Let's stand and read together in Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1. And I pray that the Lord might give us something tonight from the Word of God as we got a lot of things in here to be able to speak about. He said in Hebrews chapter 1, in verse number 1, most of you can quote it, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Now I want to look at verse number 1. I want to look at this in particular. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, that's different manners, different ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And we're going to put a little bit of a touch upon that tonight, those divers manners, how God has spoken back in times past. You can be seated. Let's pray. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Exodus, and after we get through praying, we'll go there tonight. Father, give us wisdom and understanding that we might comprehend the things of God. Thank You, Lord, that we have an open Bible. Have a complete Bible, have a full Bible tonight, God, that we can know the truth. We're glad tonight, Lord, You said that Your Word is forever settled in heaven. Lord, it's complete. And Lord, there's none that we're waiting on, some extra parts to be put there. Some believe they found some extra things that's not recorded. Some have added some things to it. They found some other books, and they've added to it, and they talk about the lost books. But Lord, we're glad today that You've given us exactly what we need. I give You the praise and the glory. Thank You, Lord, for the goodness of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Y'all might remember a few years ago we had a fellow, some of you may have been here, and we had a fellow here been saved back years ago when I was preaching in the prison or jails. And I didn't know that he had gotten saved, and he's looking for me. And he found me and came here, him and his wife, one Sunday morning. And that thrilled my heart that I'd preached in jail and he got saved. But he got messed up with some of the cults or something or another. And when he got up to give a testimony in the church service, at the end of the service, he began to talk about the Bible. He talked about, he said, I even believe in the book of Thomas. How many remember that? Amen. And then I had to get on my feet right quick. I was standing right beside him. I said, I don't know nothing about that. I do know they call the book of Thomas and some other books. And then they got the Apocrypha between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew. And there's some of those books they've added to it. And some have come along and said, hey, we found some lost books of the Bible. And we've had others that they found this and that. I was in the Holy Land and they said, we found some more books of the Psalms. There's more than 150 Psalms. And they showed us in the museum. And I was foolish enough to write every one of them down. I thought, well, I'll go back to the house and I'll preach them. Amen. And I come back in the States and looked at that, and the Holy Ghost would not let me even touch them. Amen. So I believe we've got a complete Bible tonight. Amen. Don't need anything else. So you hear everything and heard everything. But tonight, God has spoken in different times, different manners, and in different ways. And so He hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Now, I want to remind you tonight that if we want to have any truth, it's going to have to come from the Word of God. And so now I want to turn back, please, into the book of Exodus. And we're going back to the 8th chapter. Let's look at Exodus chapter number 8. Now, we were dealing, when I finished up last Sunday night, we were dealing about how that God was speaking and how He was doing through the miracles and through the signs. I had started, and we're going to look at some other things, and you'll see some other things that's happening tonight. People will take things out of context from the Old Testament and place it into the New Testament. And they'll place it there. Now, I'm not a preacher coming through town that can make frogs appear. I'm not a preacher that can give lice. I'm not a preacher tonight that can bring flies. Amen. I might have drawn a few down through the years, but amen, I can't produce them. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? And we look at these things, and people are looking for, we're living in a day of miracles. If people can't see miracles, they won't believe it. If they can't have signs, they won't accept it. If they don't have a vision, they won't have it. If they don't have a dream, they don't think it's real. But I'll tell you tonight, brother, those may have worked in days past and have worked in days past, but we're not in those days. We're in the day of grace. And I want you to get that in your mind and keep it in your heart tonight. So we're going to the 8th chapter of the book of Exodus, and we'll read at verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses. Now, did you notice that tonight? I want to point out something. Matter of fact, I just want to show you this, if you will. Back up to the 6th chapter, and we'll come back to the 8th chapter in a minute. Go back to the 6th chapter and just notice something. In chapter number 6, it said, Then the Lord said unto Moses. Now, you see that in chapter 6? When we get to chapter 7 in verse 1, it says, And the Lord said unto Moses. You see that? Then in chapter 8 it said, And the Lord spake unto Moses. Chapter 9 in verse number 1, Then the Lord said unto Moses. Do you see it? Chapter 10, And the Lord said unto Moses. Chapter 10 in verse 1. Chapter 11 verse 1, And the Lord said unto Moses. Chapter number 12 in verse number 1, And the Lord said, and the Lord spake unto Moses. And chapter number 13 and verse number 1, And the Lord spake unto Moses. Chapter 14 verse 1, And the Lord spake unto Moses. And chapter 16, amen, and verse 11, the Bible says this, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying. So we'll find He's speaking, and He's speaking personally and specifically to the man of God. Can I remind you tonight that Moses is a prophet? That talks about Moses as a prophet. He's a spokesman, and call him as that, but he is recognized in the Bible from the New Testament. And I'll give you some things on that later, but not tonight. He is classified as a prophet. He was one of the prophets. He came through, and so he's looked in that area. Now, we'll see tonight that God is doing some speaking. In chapter 8, verse 1, And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Then he said, And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. I preached a message years ago, and I said to take away the frogs. I remember that. And I remember used it. I said, as a kid, I played in the little old mud holes. And mud holes back yonder years ago, I ain't seen none like that now. Mud holes back yonder were bad, especially specific mud holes. A lot of people had mud holes that stayed mud holes year round. Now we just have, they dry up every once in a while. And you know how we'd get splattered through the mud hole to get to the house. And it'd have tadpoles. I remember when I thought a tadpole was a fish. And I tell Daddy, I said, hey, there's fish down there in the mud hole. He said, them ain't fish, that's tadpoles. Then he said, that's frogs, they'll make frogs. And we used to catch tadpoles. Amen. And they're hard to catch. Anybody ever tried to catch tadpoles? All right, amen. It was a pastime of a few of us. And so we couldn't catch them. And I caught a few of them every once in a while. We had a fun time with them. But they'll make frogs. And I said to this in preaching that sermon, young converts are like little tadpoles. They're everywhere telling everybody they get saved. But after a while, they make a frog, and they sit down, them little young converts sit down on the church with church people who's been in it for a long time, and they don't do anything, and them little tadpoles make frogs, and they die and sit on the pew like the rest of them, and all they do is croak. Amen. Some of them grunt, and I read this in the encyclopedia. Some frogs chirp, some grunt, and some croak. And I said, that's a message right there in itself. Amen. We got church members that they grunt, they croak, and they chirp. Amen. Well, we'll look at it, and it wasn't two or three days after I got through that I got a big old wart upon the side of my eye right up here. Amen. Somebody said, you handle frogs. Well, you can preach on them and get them too. All right. So anyhow, God said to Moses, I want you to go down into Egypt, and I want you to tell Pharaoh that I want you to let my people go. And if you don't, you tell him that you're going to bring forth frogs. And so they begin to bring forth them frogs. And he didn't listen to them. But I want you to go down to verse number 7. Here's what we were dealing with the last week when we quit. In chapter 8, verse number 7, And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. And I were making statements similar to this last week. Then when God has a genuine, the devil will have a counterfeit. Now, everything that you see happening in our society today that people are calling miracles from God are not always miracles from God. Amen. The devil can produce some miracles too as well. I know that without a doubt. You said, but I want to know what's real. That's why you ought to search at the throne of God to have the discernment of the spirits so that you'll know what is right and what is wrong. I hear so many of God's people in the church house in these days say, preacher, I cannot tell whether it's God or the devil speaking to me. I'll tell you right now, when somebody's speaking, I want to know where it's God or the devil. Amen. Ain't that right? Amen. I know when my wife's speaking, when she's not speaking. I've been around her a long time, and I know when she's speaking. I know when my children's speaking. I know when a lot of y'all's speaking. I hear, know your voice. And I'll tell you right now, I want to know when God is speaking to me. And I don't want to have to sit with question marks in my mind and say, Lord, is this you or is this the devil speaking to me? And so I believe we need to have that discernment of spirits. And so we find tonight that these magicians, they is able to imitate. If you'll notice in going back, and I'll just give it to you, when they throwed the rods down, you remember when Moses throwed down his rod? Then we'll know that the magicians throwed down theirs and they all became serpents, and Moses' serpent swallowed up the serpents of the magicians, and Moses picked it up and it became a rod again. We read in the Word of God that the second miracle that was performed was water into blood. Amen. And we find in verse 22 of that same chapter, chapter 7, that those magicians also changed water into blood. Amen. So they could do that. So those frogs stayed down there for several days and they stank it was everywhere. It got in their houses and everywhere. And then we find that Moses went back out and stopped the frogs from being there and got rid of them. Then we turn down to verse 18, please, in chapter 8. And we find out and the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice. We'll find in verses 16 that they went in there, said we're going to bring lice. And they did their enchantments too. The reason I'm mentioning this is because God now is speaking to the people in signs and miracles. You see that? Amen. They're speaking. He's speaking in signs and miracles. And I tried to remind you and been doing it for the past 3 or 4 weeks, and I feel like I'm maybe wasting my time, but I'm going to say it anyhow tonight. How big a Bible did these people have in that day? They did not have one. There was no Bible. You remember the first books of the Bible is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And somebody said that they had the book of Job. Job, they say, is the oldest book in the Bible. I've preached after that ever since I started preaching. And it dawned on me the other day that I don't even have no Bible to prove that. Amen. Did you know that? They say Job's the oldest book of the Bible. Somebody told me, hey, I believe it's set in a certain place in there. Can you show me in the Scriptures tonight that Job's the oldest book of the Bible? Amen. It could very well be. I don't know. But I don't have no Scripture to tell you that. Why should I want to tell you Job's the oldest book in the Bible? I do believe it's authoritative. I do believe tonight it's inspired. I do believe that God put it in as the unadulterated Word of God. But I don't tell you tonight that it's the first one. Amen. I believe God put the Bible in the order that He wanted it to be. Amen. We didn't start off with Revelation. We started off with Genesis. Boy, wouldn't that have been something to put the book of Revelation in the first book of your Bible and then end up with the book of Genesis? Well, we'd have made a mess out of it, wouldn't we? Because how do you want to read your books when you're reading one? You read it from the start to the finish. Amen. So let's get it to start. I wouldn't want to read the finish. That's how I did it when I was in school trying to do book reports. I read the last part of the book first so I wouldn't have to read the rest of it and kind of put it together. Amen. I hope the teacher didn't know I hope she hadn't read that book. Amen. But that's not the proper way to do the Bible, is it? All right. Now let's go down a little further. We'll find that there was lice. Now God's showing in signs and wonders. And then we find that the next one come along was flies. But if you'll look in the Scriptures here, and you'll see as we get on down there that the next miracle was flies, and flies come everywhere. But it didn't say anything about the magicians making flies. Now, you said, well, maybe they couldn't do that. Didn't say nothing about they couldn't do it. But when you go down to the next place, you'll find that there was a murrain come upon the earth. You look in verse number 30, and Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And that's when the flies come. And then we get to chapter number 9. We find in verse 1, then the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. And then if they don't, we're going to have a murrain comes upon the camels and the horses and the oxen and the cattle and the sheep. And they're going to die. And if you'll look at that, you'll go down with me, please, in the seventh verse. And the Bible said, and Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Can you see that tonight? Brother, something happened. Now, in chapter 9, in verses 1 through 7, you find this murrain comes upon them. Then you find some other things that are taking place. But go down in verse 11. Look at verse 11. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. Now, when I read that verse, I decided that the magicians was able to do all the other things, and the Lord just did not record it. And the reason is, when they got to this verse here, he said they couldn't do the boils. Why couldn't they do the boils? Because the boils were upon them, and they were hindered by the boils, and they could not do it. It was a judgment of God upon them. So we find that the devil can go out and try to do everything else that the Lord does. And then we come on down into the 10th chapter in verse number 1. And God begins to speak, and He gives the 8th command to them. And we find that hail and fire comes upon the ground. And that's another sign and another miracle that's taking place. Then we find the 9th one in chapter number 10, verses 13 and 14. Just jot these scriptures down. I'm not going to read all these scriptures. I got some other things I'd like for us to look at. So look at this when you get home. In verses number 13 and 14, you'll find that there's some things going on, that God is stretching forth His hand through Moses. And then there's the east wind, and here comes the locust. And there they are. And then we'll find that the last judgment. And we'll find it in chapter 11 and 12. We'll find that it's the death of the firstborn. If they didn't have the blood across the top and down the side post, everyone died. And so God worked through those miracles. And now how's God speaking to the people? How's God speaking to Pharaoh? How's God speaking to the Egyptians? And how is God speaking to His people? He's speaking through these miracles and these signs. Amen. Through the man of God. Remember that? He is the prophet, and He's speaking through the prophet. He's speaking through the man of God. So you find all that takes place. Now we'll change gears just a little bit, and we'll go to chapter 13 and verse number 1. We get to chapter 13 and verse number 1. You'll find that the Lord is speaking again. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, and He wants him to sanctify those firstborn. And He sets the firstborn aside. And we get on down into verse 21. Here's what I want you to see. God now is beginning to change His way of speaking. We said in the garden that God spoke audibly. I honestly believe that He spoke audibly to Adam. I honestly believe He walked with him in the cool of the day. And I believe it was a conversation between him and God. You remember, He was clothed in the glory of God. Remember that. Everybody said He was naked. No, He wasn't. He was clothed in the glory of God. It wasn't until he sinned against God that he recognized his nakedness. And what happened is the covering of God come off of him. Amen. And I believe that and preached that down through the years. And so the glory, the Shekinah, what we call the Shekinah glory. That's not a biblical word, but it's a good biblical term if you want to use it. And we know that that's the glory of God. And so he lost that covering. Then we find when he expelled him out of the garden, God still spoke to man. He spoke to him. Now, whether it was audible after that, I cannot tell you. I don't know anybody else that could tell you. I wasn't there. I wasn't with Cain. And I wasn't with Abel. And when God spoke. And when God spoke because the blood cried up out of the ground to Cain or unto God from about Cain. Listen, I don't know where it was an audible voice. Now, God speaks to me. And God speaks to you. Has God spoke to you with an audible voice lately? No, sir. And He hasn't spoken to me with an audible voice. But can I tell you tonight that God has spoken with an audible voice in days past? Amen. And did you know tonight that God can do it again? Whether He will, that's His business, and He hasn't recorded that. Except when I get to the book of Revelation, I can find some things. Amen. But let's go on for just a little thought. We're going back to the Old Testament. You see, I'm trying to get this clarified in our minds so we understand how and what God does. Now, the reason that I say I'm not sure that God spoke with an audible voice to Cain and Abel and those early patriarchs, and to Abraham. God did speak. It's simply this. The reason I say I don't know where His audible voice or not. How does God speak to you and me tonight? He speaks to us through the Spirit of the living God. Now you've got to remember this. Since we've been saved, we've been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and the Holy Spirit of God indwells in us. Is that correct? Now, if you'll study your Bible, you'll find that's absolutely right. But in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did not indwell in the people of God. The Spirit of God came upon them. Now, is it possible tonight that the Holy Spirit came upon them and talked to them and spoke to them through the Spirit? Yes, it is. Is it possible tonight that God could speak audibly to them? Yes, it is. But I'm not going to argue with you tonight. I just know that God spoke. Amen. And He spoke that way personally to the people. Then we come on down and we've studied that a little bit, that we begin to see how that God began to speak through the angels. He brought angels in and angels came. The angel of the Lord came and spoke to Abraham and spoke to others. Not only that, but God began to speak in dreams. And God began to speak in visions, did He not? We've done went through that. And now we find He's speaking in signs and speaking in miracles here in the book of Exodus. And also, the first time we find it, that He's speaking through the prophet, which His name is Moses. The others are called patriarchs. They were leaders. Moses was a prophet. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Amen. And we know that some of those men like Enoch, they were men who were just sold out to God and walked with God and had faith in God. Amen. And they were people who just followed after the Lord. So I hope I'm not confusing the issue. When you go down to chapter 13, we get to chapter 13, we'll look at verse number 21. Go to chapter 13 and verse 21. We're going to find something just a little bit different tonight. He said, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud." Now this is the first time we find this happening. Amen. Where are these Israelites? They have just come out of Egyptian bondage. They've just been delivered. And we'll find that God's taken them out and they're headed away now. And we're going to find that some things are going to take place. They haven't crossed over the Red Sea yet, but they've come out of Egyptian bondage. And the blood's been applied and they've come out. The firstborn's died. Now God said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead these people by a pillar of a cloud. Amen. And He said to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire. Now you remember what happened when they got so far out? Pharaoh's heart was so hardened that he sent the army after them, and they come out there. What did God do? God put a pillar of fire between them and the enemy, and the enemy could not get to them. You understand what I'm saying? So now God is speaking to His people through the miraculous business of a cloud and a pillar of fire. Amen. That's something strange, isn't it? Now, you see in that today, how many of you seen a cloud lead you around? How many of you seen a pillar of fire lead you around? God is not speaking like that now. Why? Because you've got a Bible. These people did not have a Bible. Amen. Brother God is dealing with them. He's dealing with them the way He has to. And so the increase in faith and increase in wisdom. The Bible said in verse 22, He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. How long that lasts? As long as they're in the wilderness. Amen. God took care of them. Amen. Now you see that. We'll find now that God's speaking through miraculous means, through these things. Now go to chapter 14. And I've read a lot of scriptures through here to find out where we are. But when we go to the chapter 14, go down to verse number 26. When you go down to 26, the 26th verse of the 14th, you're going to find this. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. Now what happens? Moses stretches forth that rod, and we'll find in verse number 28, in verse number 27, and Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptian in the midst of the sea. See how strong east wind blew that night? Put a wall of water on this side, and the Bible said a wall of water on that side, And these agnostics and atheists and that crowd today said, well, they crossed the Red Sea at the smallest place or where the water wasn't but about 6 inches deep. Amen. Well, that's pretty good. You said that's how come they went over. They went over. And you know God even changes that to prove that that wasn't so. Because He said there's a wall of water. It's hard to make a wall of water out of 6 inches on either side. Amen. He didn't say God dug a trench and let them walk out. And then on the other hand, the Bible said that when they got on the other side, they didn't have to get mud out between their toes. They went over on dry ground. So that kind of knocks everybody's little thoughts out of mind. So God used a miracle to get them out. Did you know tonight God can make a miracle for you? And God can still do this very same thing for you and I tonight if it's needful? Amen. I've always said if God told me to run through that wall back yonder, if I go back there, that wall will open up and I go through. Amen. If I go back there flying and hit that wall and I fall out from the floor and kill myself, you'll say God did not tell him to do it. Amen. Ain't that right? And I don't believe faith is stupidity. Amen. I believe faith is using our wisdom for God. We'll find that God got them on the other side. Now, He's still speaking in miracles. You get that? Amen. Apart from the sea. Go to chapter 15. We're going to find how God continues to speak now to these Israelites who have just been delivered. In the 15th chapter, verses 23. We'll find that they haven't gone very far. And now we find that the waters of Marah are bitter. And then we'll find that's why they call it Marah or Marah. And the people murmured in verse 24 against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And so Moses went out there and they had him cut down a tree and drop it in, which is a type of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And brother, I'll tell you right now, the cross will sweeten the bitter waters of anybody's life. And so guess what? Made it fit for them to do it. See, God performed another miracle. God is directing His people through miracles. They don't have a Bible to be comforted with. They're having the hand of God upon them. God is guiding those little Israelites after they come out from the Egyptians. And God is taking care of them, you understand? And you're seeing this just as clear as it can be. In chapter 16, verses 4, we'll find something here. In chapter 16, we'll find in the fourth verse, it said, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And you'll find that God gave them that heavenly manna. And we'll see that. Slide over, we're going to go to the verse 35. How long did God leave the manna for them? How long did they have to eat the manna? Look at verse number 35. The Bible said, and the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it on before the... Excuse me, go back to verse number 32. Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, Phil and Omer, of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And God did that for 40 years. Look at verse 35. And the children of Israel did eat manna, what? 40 years. Until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came under the borders of the land of Canaan. Every time they went out in the morning to get the manna, every morning they picked it up and they got enough for the next day. If they happened not to get enough, God let it multiply. If they got too much, it bred worms and stank. Amen. They had to throw it out. And then one time a week, God let them get enough for 2 days and it wouldn't breed worms. Amen. Just as fresh as it come off or out of the heavens. Amen. And for 40 years, God took care of them. And they went out and said, God is with us. God, every time they picked up the manna, God is speaking, saying, I'm with you. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to direct you. Amen. When I get up in the morning, I don't go out and look for manna to come out of heaven. I open up my Bible and read it. And I got the Holy Word of God. And God says in this book, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to protect you. Amen. Here's my heavenly holy manna tonight. Amen. Thank God for the Word of God. So we see that. Now when we get a little further, we'll find in chapter 17, we'll find in verse number 5 that the rock is smitten. Not only does God give them bread in the Word of God, but He gives them water. Water comes out of the smitten rock. And the smitten rock is a type of Christ being crucified on Golgotha's hill. Brother, that smitten rock brings forth water every time they eat the manna, every time they took a drink of water. Amen. It come out of that rock. And by the way, God said in the book of 1 Corinthians that rock followed them. Amen. I mean, here is God give them a spring head out of a rock and put wheels on it. Amen. Praise God. And God motivated it from heaven. That rock followed them. Praise God. Somebody said, somebody pull the rock. You can do what you want to with it tonight. God said the rock followed them. When they got up and took off, I believe the rock took off with them. Amen. You said, that's kind of crazy. Just classify me any way you want to. I just believe the Word of God. Amen. All right. Amen. So I appreciate what God has done. And then in chapter 17, verses 8, God's still speaking. They went out to fight the battle with the Amalekites. And with Amalek. And Amalek's the type of the flesh. Moses held his hands up. They won the battle as long as Moses' hands were up. When they got tired, they came down. Aaron and Hur came and held his hands up. And he built an altar there. We talked about that Wednesday night. And he said, the Lord my banner, and that's the victory. And God showed them how they're going to win the battle. All right. Now, let's go in chapter number 19. Go on over. I'm giving you, we're scanning through. And not taking too much time with any of it, I'm just showing you how God spoke in days past. Exodus 19 and verse 9. Exodus 19:9. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud. Now here's something different. We hadn't seen this. God's come in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. Now God said, I'm going to speak and they're going to hear me. You see that? Amen. We ain't had no cloud lately and God spoke out of it. I have read in the New Testament that God has spoken. This goes on up into the New Testament. Amen. When Jesus was baptized by John down at the River Jordan, the Bible said when he came up out of the water, the dove came down, lit upon his shoulder, and a voice out of heaven said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I believe God spoke out of heaven. God spoke out of heaven in an audible voice. On the road to Damascus to Paul. Amen. I can give you some other places in the Scriptures, but I'm going to say tonight that God is not in the manner of doing that in our modern day. Why? He don't do that anymore. He uses the Bible to speak to you and me. Are you with me? Now, I believe tonight that we get rid of a lot of junk, and we get rid of a lot of false doctrines, and we get rid of a lot of errors, and we get rid of a lot of heresies if we just study the Bible and let God show us what's real and what's not real. Amen. I'm just foolish enough, if you want to call it foolishness, to believe that tonight. In the 19th chapter now, we find that God is speaking in a thick cloud. And on down through, and we'll find that God is speaking. And He speaks to them. Notice what He said. Let me give you verse number 16. Just scanning through it. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Now God is not just speaking through the thick cloud in an audible voice, but He's speaking through thunderings and lightnings. Amen. You seeing that now? Amen. Haven't been talking about that any more time soon. I imagine it had a little thunder and lightning. When Noah was in the ark, it don't say nothing about thunder and lightning, but it does talk about rain. Amen. And we'll see now. But I will go ahead and give you one to think about just a bit. When we get over to it, you'll understand it. But Elijah, the Bible said Elijah was on the mountain. He saw the thunder. He heard the thunder. He saw the lightning. He saw the rain. He saw the hail. And he looked, and he's waiting for the voice of God. And he couldn't find God in none of it. He wasn't in the hail. He wasn't in the rain. He wasn't in the thunder. He wasn't in the lightning. But it said that he spoke in the what? The still, small voice. Now, actually, that's how God speaks to you and me tonight. So He's already practiced that in days past. And God speaks to us tonight. Amen? All right, let me go on a little bit more. Some of you, I'm already boring, so we'll get through and get out of here. All right? And we'll see in verse 9 that God speaks in a thick darkness. In verses 16 through 24, we'll find that He's speaking now through the thunders and the lightnings and the things that's going on. And He's speaking through the man of God. Now, when you get to chapter 20, we'll find that God has called Moses up on the mountain. And in chapter 20, we'll find that God has pinned down 10 commandments on two tables of stone with His finger. Amen. And you'll find out in the book of Numbers that the people of God got in trouble and they pulled their clothes off and danced before a naked calf and drunk. And here come the man of God off the mountain and he broke the tables of stone and God has to write them again. And we'll see that later as we go through the Scriptures. But we know that tonight God is speaking through His Word. Now this is the first time that people have begun to get a written copy of the Word of God. And at the time, all it was done is the first Bible was wrote on two tables of stone. You talk about the Dark Ages. Amen. And people talk about people walking around half-clad and with a stick in their hand and a club and look like cavemen. Now that might be the impact that some people have taken about man, but I don't believe man has ever been there. But I do believe tonight that the Word of God was written on two tables of stone the first time it was written. And this is the first record of the Word of God that God has given in the hands of man. Now here we have. We've come through Genesis. We've come up through Exodus for 19 chapters. And we do not have one record of the Word of God given to mankind on a piece of paper or anything else. And for the first time, it's given now on a rock or two pieces of rock. Amen. Somebody said God's up on the mountain standing there chiseling it out. That ain't what it said. Didn't say God took His hammer and chisel. God wrote it on the rock. You said, how in the world? Amen. You had the finger of God, you could write on anything too. Amen. I found where He wrote on stone. Then I found where He wrote on the wall. Amen. Did you know God can write on in your language? He has no problem with your language. He can write in any language. He didn't have to go to language school. Amen. You said He wrote something on the wall. I couldn't understand it. Neither could the king. Meany, meany, tingle, ye farsinate man. And he said, when he come out there, and the man of God came out and told him, he said, you've been found in the, been weighing the balances and found wanting. Amen. God knew what He wrote, but they had to get an interpretation. So now we find the first copy of the Word of God is being given out of the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. Prove me wrong. Amen. I welcome anybody to prove that different. Amen. Where's their Bible? Amen. I can just see somebody saying, well, I hope it was King James. God writes the Word of God. It's right. Amen. There was nothing wrong with any of the words. This was inspired of God. Amen. God penned it down. Well, you can just see some folks are kind of getting facetious, getting the place that they get out of line. But God has given us these commandments. Go to chapter 24. You don't find much now. God just dealing with it in rules and regulations, and He gives some other. He didn't just give the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai on two tables of stone. If you'll read chapters 21, 22, and 23, you'll find out that God also made some other laws. How that we deal with one another. How that we help one another. How that we keep from harming somebody. And you ought to read them things. Brother, that's good. It's not just the law of the Ten Commandments. It's the rest of the law. Now, in chapter 24, verse 9, the Bible said, then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 the elders of Israel. And there they went. And they went up into the midst of the cloud, if you will. Look at verse number 16. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day He called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. They couldn't go up on the mountain, but brother, they could see the mountaintop on fire. You see that? How's God speak? He's speaking now through signs and wonders and miracles. And we're going to have to stop there tonight and carry on again. So now we've seen a little bit how that God's done with miracles. You understand what's happening? And as we go on down through this, and we may not do it every Sunday night, but as we go on down through this, we're going to find out how that it gets different all the time and how God incorporates things and backs off of some of it, brings in some of it later. You understand? And gets over the New Testament. But when we get to the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1, God at sundry times and in divers manners has spake in those last days. Amen. Through all those things. But in these last days He's spoken to us by His Son through the Word of God. And that's what we're challenging you with tonight. I believe we ought to know how God has spoken. And I hope this has been a help and a blessing to you and not a discouragement and not being boring to you. Amen. You begin to study the Word of God, you'll see it. You have to read these chapters to find out where the Lord is speaking and how He's speaking tonight. All right. Heads bowed and eyes closed as we look tonight to the Lord and in the invitation. I pray that the Lord might help us as we look at these things. We'll stop there with chapter number 24 and we'll pick up and go on. Because in chapter 25, God begins to speak in a different manner. This time, He's speaking with instructions. He's going to give some instructions, and He's going to give some manner of building things and doing things. And you'll find it through chapter 25 on up through chapter 40. God's dealing with the tabernacle, and He lays it out. And we won't be dealing a whole lot with the tabernacle, just how God speaks. Let's stand. Amen.